views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
The truth is funny. With Colette Steffen, we'll have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success. Many people who shift out of limiting beliefs roar with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The truth is funny. Shift happens. Feel instant relief. Stay tuned for more fun and release struggle and suffering. And now, here's your host, Colette Steffen.
This is Colette Marie Steffen. Welcome to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay tuned for the next hour and experience the instant relief of using your intuition to solve life's most challenging problems. Shift happens every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock a.m. Pacific time, live on the airwaves and also in the archives at thetruthisfunny.com, transformationtalkradio.com, and transformationradio.fm. So the energetic shifts are still accessible through what I call HSN, the Higher Self Network, if you're listening later. It is my pleasure to share life-transforming information and also to provide you an opportunity to call in and receive an energetic upgrade, or also if you have any questions for our guest today. You can call in at 1-800-930-2819. Today's show I'm very excited about. It's Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. Claudette Rowley, Cultural Brilliance CEO, is a change management consultant, cultural designer, and executive coach. She is passionate about empowering leaders and organizations to resolve complex organizational problems in ways that honor the intelligence of their cultural systems and the brilliance of their people. For almost 20 years now, Rowley has consulted, trained, and coached executive leaders and teams at Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, higher education, and startups to create proactive and innovative workplace cultures that deliver outstanding results throughout all areas of an organization. With a client list that includes Medtronic, Boston University School of Law, and Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Rowley's unique programs solve complicated problems, create buy-in and engagement, and receive high reviews. Rowley is the creator of the Cultural Brilliance System and hosts a globally syndicated radio show here on Transformation Talk Radio. And she also teaches a course on culture and communication at Northeastern University and is the author of Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. And this is a step-by-step guide to activating the greatness in your organization, something I'm really interested in. Rowley also holds a master's degree from the University of Michigan, and she lives in the greater Boston area with her family. Claudette, are you there?
I am. Thanks so much. Yeah, for the great intro.
Thank you. It is such a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm really excited to find out more about this book and that you just can. And first of all, congratulations on getting your book out. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that book?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Thank you. Yeah. As you mentioned, it is about discovering the greatness of the potential in organizations. And so I've consulted for a long time. And one thing that I have noticed is that in a lot of organizations, almost all of them, Most leaders and people were leaving so much potential on the table in the form of their business culture that they didn't really use all the potential in their people. They didn't use their best skills and talents, that people weren't feeling that they could contribute in certain ways. And so what I noticed over time is that most organizations didn't even talk about their culture, didn't know a lot about it. And I wanted to put together a system and a roadmap to help organizations really really tap into that potential that they have in the form of their culture, and that, you know, that engages people, that increases profits, that increases sales, that, you know, helps operations be more efficient and productive. It hits every level of an organization.
So, like, this is really beautiful because a lot of people don't talk about it from this angle. Like, I've been reading a lot of Harvard Business Reviews, and there's a lot of talk in there, you know, like there's more articles in Harvard Business Reviews now that do talk about the spiritual end of it also, that people are more involved or more it's a much more beneficial situation for people to have that balance of what I call your authentic self triad, which is your body, soul, and spirit, recognizing that people have needs, employees have needs, and people want to be heard. And you know, when I love how you call it a brilliant culture. Just tell us, what do you feel that really encompasses? What does brilliant culture mean?
You know, a brilliant culture is, part of it is that potential, as I mentioned, but it's also about really, in brilliant cultures, what I notice is they bring out the invention, the positivity, and the intelligence in the people and systems. And so I'll see, you know, in individual people, what I call the light comes back on people's eyes. So people who looked incredibly frustrated or incredibly disengaged, and, you know, you'll see that light come back on, that spark come back into them as they feel that there's help, there are new possibilities, they can contribute in different ways. Also, you know, what the official definition of a brilliant culture is, that it's an organizational system that proactively responds to change in ways that decrease stress, inspire learning, and promote organizational health and success. And the reason I created that definition is because I noticed that the organizations really needed a way to adapt to change, not from a perspective of, oh, change is awful and this is going to be really hard, which is often, you know, our viewpoint on it, but more the change could actually be a key to our success. How can we adapt to this in a really proactive way and use it to decrease our stress and increase our learning versus the reverse?
I love that because, you know, myself, I've always been an entrepreneur. I've never worked in an office setting as such, except for my kitchen office.
Right.
But having said that, I have a lot of clients that do work in offices, and they speak to me about this sort of thing a lot, like that they, if people don't feel heard at work and they don't feel like they're being utilized in ways that are productive for them, it causes way more stress than people realize. And I've noticed, like, when I talk to these people, a lot of them will say, like, you know, the management or whatever, it's just they don't feel heard. So creating, what you're basically saying is you're meeting the needs of people in a way that encompasses all of these outline things that improve a person's performance.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's the other interesting piece to it. It's individual people, but it's also how the different systems in the organization, you know, we're always in a system. So for folks who aren't as familiar with systems, the weather is a perfect example of a system. Nature, how nature, you know, we have one thing leads to the next in nature. We have change of seasons, things like that. That's a perfect system. So what we see in organizations are all these different systems, you know, how leadership works, how we communicate as a system, how operations function, how even the level of trust is a system. Is there a lot of trust? Is there a lot of emotional safety? Or is it broken trust? Is there not much trust at all? And so we can also bring out the best in a system because we're always in one anyway. And when organizations start to look at the different systems in their organization, they really start to be, in my experience, when I've worked with them, they're often able to really start to pinpoint the places where their systems get stuck. And once they can release that, it's like, you know, releasing a tangle or a knot in some way, then the energy in the system, the energy in the organization starts to flow a lot more productively.
Yeah, you know, I just love this because you're speaking my my language right now, because I've you know, been working on this project for 12 years of an oracle, Tales from the Vector, and it's 64 paintings that are very big, most of them. And I've been working on this and I'm very close to completing it. And I started a new program and now I have people that I have 17, what I call my modern official modern day dragon sayers, because this is an oracle. And I'm getting very close to finishing it. And I'm looking at ways to empower, you know, the people that have taken my course and do all these things. So I really started doing what you said. We're just talking about now at the beginning of November. I just went through every single system in my business and it was daunting.
I bet.
But it's been about 4.5 months now, just going through every single system and going through it like you would like, you know, even like a computer. Why is the software not working? Where is the system breaking down? And I'm already starting to notice such a huge, huge difference. And so this is so incredibly powerful when you embrace it from the direction. I love how you're embracing it from a point of view of change being inevitable.
Right.
You know, and so if you're going to have change in your company, then you would also want to, you recognize it's like every other part of your life. And I just love how you approach it from a position of power, not of, oh no, we've got to do this. And, you know, and with that attitude, because another thing, I was reading your bio and I was looking into some of what you do. And one thing I really like is how when you talk, you're talking with people that you actually address the needs of the individuals as well as the company in a much more positive light, I feel. We do have a caller who's been patiently waiting, but we do have a break to go to. So we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more with Claudette regarding cultural brilliance. And we'll take our first caller. This is Colette Marie Steffen. You're listening to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. We'll be right back to make some more shift happen.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at maryjanemack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death, from debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind that anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss, every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit AngieCorbettKuyper.com.
Like the branches of a tree, universal knowledge, insight, and wisdom must be weaved together to bring forward to others. If you live in the Western Washington area, you will want to make the trip to Auburn and visit the new Alchemy of the Goddesses Center. Now open and offering healing sessions, classes, crystals, books, oils, and more. Find out more about the center. Visit alchemyofthegoddesses.com. That's alchemyofthegoddesses.com.
Demystifying the Journey on From Here to There Radio with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Get ready to get unstuck and move forward. Every show features a new special segment, New Age Notes, demystifying hot metaphysical topics of the day. For more information or to work with Diane, visit DianeGarris.com.
We're back on The Truth is Funny with Colette Marie Steffen and my guest today, Claudette Raleigh. And Claudette, before we continue, I would just like to get you to share your contact information and just if there's anything you would like to share with the audience of any events coming up, feel free.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, so my website is culturalbrilliance.com. And that is a great place to find out more about the book of the same name, Cultural Brilliance. And the website also lists, you know, appearances, some really great culture resources, articles, other podcasts and radio shows I've been on. So there's a lot there on the website. And then the book, Cultural Brilliance, is also available on Amazon.
Beautiful. And so I noticed in your book that you dedicated it in part to Dr. Pat.
I did.
And tell us about that. What a beautiful woman she is.
She's an amazing, beautiful woman. So Dr. Pat and I worked when I became a radio host about 2.5 years ago, roughly. She and I worked on branding for Cultural Brilliance and fleshed out some different ideas. And so she was really instrumental in helping to bring a lot of these ideas to life initially and helped me with the book proposal and things like that. So that is... why the book was, like you said, in part, the book's also dedicated to my husband and son, but also to Dr. Pat.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah.
I didn't know who they were, but I assume they were close to you.
Yes, they are.
And I just wanted to mention that, you know, your radio show, Cultural Brilliance Radio, is on the 2nd and 4th Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific Time, which is 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And, I'm really excited to have been invited on your show on May 10th. So just putting that out there for everybody.
I'm excited too. Thanks for mentioning.
I just love the collaboration and how we can find new ways to share this information with people that is really productive. And so we've had a caller patiently waiting here. So I'm just going to take the caller. If you have Ulith there, Carter.
Yeah, Ulith from Vancouver. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi, Ulith.
Hello.
We were just wondering, what can Claudette and I do for you today? Do you have a question for her, or would you like energy shifted? What's going on?
I would like a shift because I'm literally ready for layer two, Colette, and I would like to get ready for it on the physical plane as well. I'm working on releasing a few more pounds here. And, I think I'm ready for my next 10. And I really love both of your support to sort of shift through that.
Okay, awesome. So, Claudette, I'm just going to fill you in that what she's talking about is the layer two is my call to dance seminar. She's signed up for my layer two on May 24th. And I'll just mention also then that I have my layer one that I had to postpone due to the snowstorm, a foot of snow in Vancouver.
Wow.
That day, the Friday that I was to give my talk was the day that they got hit with that. So I had been tuning into it and recognized that energetically it wasn't strong, that it was going to happen, that the weather had been so iffy, and then we had a rock slide on the road.
Oh my gosh.
And the highway was closed for like almost 3 weeks. So it was a bit of a challenge. And so Ulith, when you get in touch with your what's going on in your life, it's coming up for you when you say she's talking about the physical weight. I'll work on that. But I want to bring into this up because I feel like this is really powerful for people to know, is that quite often when people are carrying excess weight, it will come up financial. because if they feel that their finances aren't in order, then they'll try and put weight on. And so quite often when people, there's a connection there. I'm going to work on that. Do you have a question for Claudette regarding, the work that she does that you feel would benefit you to sort of get ready for the next steps that you want to take in your life?
Yes, I do feel that in terms of getting ready for the next steps, I feel like there's a shift happening to this new way of being, which sometimes we revert back and we revert forward. And I was wondering, Claudette, if you could speak to that.
Sure. I'd be happy to. Claudette, okay for me to go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. I'm just working in the background on, this is about image is coming up. I don't need to say it out loud. I'll work on her energetically. You talk on.
Talk on. All right. Well, Eula, thanks for your question. For calling in. So I work a lot in addition to the culture work that I do. I've been leadership coach and career coach and personal coach for about 20 years. So I look at change through that particular lens. And which I think is what you're talking about, right? When we've made a change, but yeah, sometimes we regress or under stress or other, for other reasons. Yeah. And I've noticed that it's, certainly, you know, when stress comes up, we all, I think, without, unless we're really aware and cognizant of it, we often will slide back. But I think when I've worked with clients and I've focused on it myself, it's really about staying focused on, you know, certainly why you're making the change. But I think even stronger than that, it's the desire piece, right? Why you're making a change, because there's something you probably deeply want, right? And want inside of yourself. There's something you want to achieve. Maybe there's a goal. And so I think staying really focused and aware, even with reminders of, you know, what is that emotional desire you have? And that's really what's driving the change. And staying focused on that, I know that often helps me and helps others stay the course, right? Because there's always, and I've never met anybody who didn't go through this, right? That two steps forward, one step back part of a change where we slide around, right? As we're like,
I try and put a happy light on that. If you think about life being and business being a call to dance, like something that you really love to do, and then you think about dance. If you're dancing, you don't just go one step in front of the other,
right?
Because that would be called marching. And don't you feel it's more fun to dance through life than to march through it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, right. So dancing through that. that in middle phase, right, of change.
And a lot of people go very weak when they start to feel that they're going backwards instead of forwards. Mm-hmm. And I had this huge desire to understand how remote healing was possible. And so, part of that took me to study with a quantum physicist, Nassim Haramein. And I became one of the original emissaries of the Resonance Project Foundation back then. But what I did is I studied a lot about the quantum physics and did my best to understand how it is possible that we're all connected and then, you know, we're not. And, that has a lot to do with the fact that we're all made up of atoms, etc. But I found the Fibonacci series, which is a series of numbers that nature follows, you can see that there's patterns in nature that are exact, through the numbers, and that these numbers they have certain patterns. And so a lot of people, when they go backwards, they feel like it reminds them of times when they, the change wasn't good. That's why people rarely acknowledge change that is moving them forward. They don't notice it as much as the 2x4 treatment, when things go backwards. So that's part of what I'm picking up with Eulith, is just this feeling of if she goes backwards, like if she doesn't lose a pound or doesn't gain that, at work, or she doesn't accomplish the goal she set in the moment, and it doesn't, it's a matter of patience is what's coming up. And I just wanted to also point out, Eulith, that right now, we just went through that new moon, And so astrologically, at that same time, we had Uranus for the first time. It takes Uranus 85 years to go back to where it was when it was discovered. And so it's been Uranus is a very... has a very strong pull. And it's really, I'm noticing with my clients and the people that are calling into the radio lately, et cetera, that people are feeling a lot of conflict within themselves right now because of the changes and the dynamics that are happening in the collective influence. And what I'd like to ask you, Claudette, what are you noticing about the cultural challenges that people are facing now in companies, and also for someone like Yulith that is working for a company? Like, what you mean, because from my understanding, Yulith, you were like, the dynamics at work have changed greatly for you. That's coming up as a you know, as a weakness also. So I'm just addressing that. Claudette, what would you say in you're discovering about the challenges now?
Challenges in speaking broadly, some of the cultural challenges in companies are actually ones that have been coming to light over the last few years. And they've been there for decades, but we're talking about them a lot more, which is great. And, you know, one is around trust and how, you know, are people treated with respect and dignity at work? And, you know, when we have companies that tolerate bullying, tolerate disrespect, tolerate harassment, you know, that kind of thing. So we know that's coming to light. It's being talked about. It's being much less tolerated. So that's good. But that's, I think, in process for sure. And another one is around how, you know, there's a lot of talk around about engagement, right? Employee engagement. And what we notice is that there are people, and especially younger employees to a certain extent, who are much less tolerant of just having a job and keeping it, even if they don't really like it, or it's not a good fit for them, or the culture is not good. They want more from work. They want more from their culture, and they really want to do something that's in alignment more authentically with who they are and their best skills and strengths. So that's another big change. And, you know, there are a lot of companies that are ignoring both of those things still, but there's enough emerging that most companies, I think, are going to eventually need to shift over.
Okay. We are going to have to go for a break in a minute here. Yulith, I forgot to get a baseline from you. How are you feeling about your readiness right now? Has it changed?
I'm getting there.
Yeah, what number are you at on a scale 0 to 10, 10 being hair on fire, panic, and 0 neutral?
I think I'm about a 3 or a 2.
Yeah, that's what I was getting. So if you want, you can hang on over the break and I'll work on this a bit more, and we can, if you have time, we can check in with you when we come back. And if that's okay with you, does that work for you, Yulith?
Absolutely. That works.
Okay. All right. Cool. I am Colette Marie Steffen and you are listening to The Truth Is Funny. You can connect with me at thetruthisfunny.com. Tails, T-A-I-L-S from thevector.com for my energy correcting cards and paintings. And I'm so excited to say I finished intuitive. And now I'm on painting number 63, synchronicity. You can see some of those paintings, et cetera, on social media and Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, at The Truth Is Funny with Colette. And we'll be right back to take your calls, 1-800-930-2819. Let's shift your life story into better.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days, because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelm and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Do you want the knowledge and wisdom to understand where spirituality, science, and psychology intersect? Then join the Karmic Path Radio Show with Tina and Laura on TransformationTalkRadio.com Thursdays at 4 p.m. Pacific. Follow this charmingly, disarmingly dynamic duo as they explore how psychic ability, spirituality, and karmic law tie together. For more information on Tina, Laura, and their groundbreaking work, visit thekarmicpath.com.
Do you know how powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Are you looking for the perfect setting for your next workshop or retreat? At Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, cultivating consciousness is what we do best. Our guests count on us to create an atmosphere that supports serenity and well-being. We lead from the heart and create space for the mind. Freshly prepared meals designed with local and organic ingredients, 95 acres of beautiful woods and pastures, and a facility built with green in mind. This is what you'll find at Spirit Fire. For more information, visit SpiritFireRetreatCenter.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. Parenting will always be a bit of a mystery. Who knows why some parenting ideas work and others do not? Or why some kids seem to succeed despite family setbacks, while others have so much given to them and yet fail to thrive? The one thing we do know is that once you have a child, you'll never be quite the same again. Awe-inspiring emotions like overwhelming love, extreme guilt, intense frustration, and incredible joy make this job second to none. Breaking free of parenting pressures means recognizing the pieces that make us unique, the pieces that we carry with us from the past, and the pieces that are influenced by the society we live in. When we can pick and choose which pieces we want to keep around and change the others to align with our inner wisdom, we will feel more self-assured in our role as a parent.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com.
This is Colette Marie Steffen. You're listening to The Truth is Funny. We have Claudette Rowley on the show with us today, and we have Yulith from Vancouver who called in. And Yulith, are you there?
I'm here.
How are you feeling now, Yulith?
I feel really relaxed, like I could have a nap.
Okay, good. We lost Claudette for a second there, and we thought that must have been you. Do you have any other question for Claudette that came up since, you know, like you, because I feel like you've shifted into neutral. It's not uncommon when people shift into neutral for them to feel sometimes sleepy, or sometimes people will cry because they get a sentimental sadness, or they'll just really laugh because they'll recognize how what they were worrying about wasn't really worth worrying about, which is pretty much, when you say, Claudette, 99.99% of things.
Yeah, that's been my experience also.
Yeah. So do you have any other questions for Claudette?
You know, so far, I just feel so relaxed. I think I'm just going to lay down for a little bit.
Okay. Good job, Claudette.
Thank you both so much.
Okay. You have a good nap.
Mm-hmm. You too. Have a great day. Thanks.
So, what I wanted to ask you, Claudette, is in your experience, when like, how do people know if their culture's in trouble? Because like you said, this has been for decades and decades, but people are talking about it more now.
Oh, yeah.
What are the signs? Like when you know, hey, my business is in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one thing, and we touched on this in the break, is that if you're tolerating bullying behavior in your organization, you definitely have a cultural issue. People will often tolerate bullies because they're rainmakers, or you know, the biggest top customer loves them, or for whatever reason. But it's never never worth it, because you actually lose a lot. You lose a lot of money from a practical perspective tolerating bullying, but you also actually hurt other people a lot. You know, when you're subjected to bullying behavior, and people get really damaged and traumatized. So that's huge. I would say on a lesser level, even things like if your company consistently has meetings that are silent or boring, like in other words, everyone just tolerates and sits through them. And we've all sat through a meeting like that before.
Oh yeah.
But there's no real discussion. There's no real debate or passion or energy. Nothing really gets done. That's a sign that something's probably not quite right. That's certainly not as dramatic or hard hitting as a bullying kind of behavior, but it's still something to really pay attention to.
Yeah, because the bullying thing, like I was explaining to you, like I haven't actually worked in an office setting or in a large office setting, but a lot of my clients, have a real, it's really, really hard for them to go to work when they've got someone doing that to them at work. It's really hard to go to work. It's very counterproductive. And, you know, I have some experience with this because I was bullied, throughout my elementary school career.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry.
It was quite devastating, and it still comes up for me now because of that. And I think, wow, if you have to also tolerate that when you become an adult and you go to work, like, ugh, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, to be bullied as a child is incredibly damaging, but in some ways there are adults who end up really traumatized too, because even though we're adults, we have a lot more power and things like that, and we are more empowered, but they, especially if they're in positions in which they feel that it's hard for them to get another job, they really need that particular job to take care of their families, and they feel really trapped. Mm-hmm. And there's no safety, there's no trust. And the leaders are actually, you know, if they're aware of it, they're being incredibly irresponsible by allowing it to continue, and not address the issue. It's a great website called the Workplace Bullying Institute, run by a couple of folks who work in the area and have done tons of research on it. So they're really good resources on that website for anybody.
Oh, cool. That's going to that.
Yeah.
We also, we had someone who emailed me, and she's wanting to know, she worked for the same company for, I think, 33 years, and she's now retired. And how can she transfer her skill set, and how can she figure out what to do with all her time? That's what she wants to know. You know, all that time that you're at work and you're thinking about retiring, right, and then you have the time to,
you don't know because
you're so used to working, especially if you've been with the same company for 33 years. That's a long time.
It is. Yeah. And I think for someone in that situation, like your friend, it's taking a look, taking stock of all of her skills and strengths, right? Work-related ones, non-work-related ones. And out of all of those, which are the ones that she really wants to use, continue to use? Because we all have strengths or skills that we are maybe really competent in, but we don't love, right?
Yeah.
Ones that she loves, you know, she loves using, that make her really happy, that really make her feel passionate and energized. And then sometimes, you know, a career coach can be really helpful with this, even for a couple of sessions, just to have that objective person help you think it through. And then really look for, I don't know, part-time job, volunteer opportunities, you know, ways to, it sounds like she still wants to really contribute. And so ways to get involved and contribute using the skills and strengths that she really enjoys.
Yeah. And what I talk about in my book also is there's a chapter in there on fitness. And a lot of people, when they think about fitness, they think about physical fitness. But fitness is also about emotional fitness and psychological fitness and you know, the fitness to be able to get things done and, you know, in the business world and financial fitness, all of these things. And there's, you know, I list 10 skills. And the one that's coming up here for her mostly would be transference, like being able to transfer a set of skills to another part of your life. And a lot of times, I love that what you said is, you know, like write it down what all you are, what all you have done. Because a lot of times people will ask me to, you know, can you just check out my bio? Because I see so many of them from being on the radio show. And, you know, a lot of times they don't know how to brag about themselves. Do you want to talk that a little bit?
sure. Yeah. It's sometimes not easy, right? To promote yourself or brag about yourself. Yeah. But I think it's really, I don't think of it as, I know, it may be considered bragging, you know, especially from our childhood, right? don't have a big head. Don't say this, don't say that about yourself. But when you want to enter into a new arena or promote yourself in some way, I think it's a sign of confidence to tell the truth about who you are,
mm-hmm.
you know, in your, with your best skills, your talents, your experiences. It's really, that's, to me, it's about truth telling. This is who I am. This is what I'm up to. This is what I'm looking for, you know, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. So
yeah.
I think that's just a new perspective, a different perspective on it.
Because I can't remember where I read it, because I was scanning through your book. And as I told you, I ordered it, but it didn't arrive yet.
I know. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right.
Yeah.
But I did, you know, scan through your, what you are talking about in many different ways. And it's one of the things that you point out, which I thought was really important, is authenticity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we have to take a short break here again, but when we come back, we can talk a little bit more about that. And then I would also like to ask you when we get back, remind me if I forget,
okay.
that what you feel leaders can do to become better leaders of organizations and better leaders of how to engage with people in the business world and also outside of the business world. So we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, I'm Jane Matanga with Grow Your Soul Radio. Life is full of challenges and surprises. Your guidance is to move with the current, for it is in resisting the flow that creates problems. Ask your angels to help you open up your mind and heart to new ideas and fresh options. When you accept the possibility that there are other ways, previously unseen doorways will be open to you and you will move easily through change. There is a solution to every problem. So look at things with eyes of love and expectation. Then your life force will flow freely through you. You will feel healthy and alive and will be able to access the necessary resources and wisdom within yourself to help you through change. I'd love to take this journey with you. Visit my website, enlightened-path.com, so we can explore all that is possible.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a moment for standing in your power. Self-control begins with noticing how different feelings present themselves in your body. When you're feeling sensitive, for example, your chin might quiver, tears might well up in your eyes, and your voice might catch in your throat. Anger, on the other hand, might appear as tension in your jaw, back, or arms, along with clenched fists, heat in the upper torso, scowling, and a strong desire to yell. The more aware you become of your body cues, the easier it will be to recognize when you're on the road to disaster. Choose the emotions that cause you problems, then start noticing and logging the body cues that come with them.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com. That's empoweringnrg.com.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show.
Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to corneliastephanie.com.
This is Colette Marie Steffen. You're listening to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. We have Claudette Rowley here with us today, and we're talking about her new book, Cultural Brilliance. And also, we were just discussing over the break, Claudette, that for you, I was just saying that, you know, this book is basically, like, you wrote this book for with companies in mind. I understand that. But do you want to, I managed to read some of the book last night, and I was fascinated by the fact that that you could use this roadmap in any area of life. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh, sure. Yeah, thanks. I'd be happy to. So the book, yes, is written more toward companies and businesses, but it absolutely applies to any organization. Nonprofit organization, you know, your house of worship, your community organization, anything like that. And then also individual people, because the, or even, or two people in a relationship, right? Relationships have cultures too. So,
yes,
yeah, absolutely. Even a cult, you know, two people form a culture. I mean, and that's a point that's often missed. It's interesting. But one of the, because the book is talking first broadly about authenticity. So it's about an organization, an individual, really understanding how you authentically operate.
And to then, be able to do that, you need to know yourself, right?
Oh, yeah. To know yourself, an organizational culture needs to know itself. The exact same principles apply, right? So it's really about finding out how you operate. Yeah, the self-awareness piece, you know, strengths, weaknesses, underlying beliefs are huge. Mindset is huge. And we talk about all that in culture, too. And then the second broad phase of the process is design. And that's really about, well, now that you've learned a lot about yourself and you've started to identify where you want to go, or in an organization, it's the culture you want to have, whatever the case may be, then it's really designing how you're going to move from where you are now to where you want to be. So that applies absolutely to individuals. We do that, you know, all the time in coaching, all the time in your work, Colette, and everybody who does individual work with folks, right? We do it with ourselves. And then once you've designed how you're going to move from point A to point B, then it's implementation, right? It sounds like Ulysses is doing a lot of that right now, implementation.
Yeah.
Right? And I call that phase in the book aware integration, simply because we know, and I believe this applies to people and organizations, that we cannot integrate change from the old perspectives or mindsets or behaviors we had before. So it's really about how do we integrate this change with a new level of self-awareness, including our mindsets, our beliefs, and our behaviors.
Yeah. And, you know, I talk about this a lot of times. People are told to believe in themselves. But, you know, after working with thousands of people around the globe from all different cultures and, you know, what I find is that most people do have one of four major scotomas, which is blind spots in their personality and or limiting beliefs regarding themselves. So when people are told to believe in themselves, quite often they have limiting beliefs about themselves, a lot of them. So I say have faith in your ability to be able to move forward, you know, to handle things. And so for a lot of people on an energetic level, if they go into overwhelm because there's so much to do, if you break things down into smaller bits, then and energetically tune in and delete that weakness and then the next one, and you do it very methodically. If you go through a process like that, it'll bring you to a place where the overwhelm, it's like, you know, like it, you're breaking it into smaller pieces. And so basically that's what you're doing as a leader when you have a business. If you have like you know, a certain amount of employees, like say 50 employees, and you know, you have to integrate all that. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, like what you feel makes a good leader, and like, you know, how can they participate? The people that are out there that want to be really good leaders, whether you have a business or you have, you know, you're leading your children, you know,
right.
You know, you're the CEO of your house, you know,
right.
Yeah. What can we do to be better leaders?
Mm-hmm. So number one is listening. Absolutely. And, you know, often people want something a lot more exciting than that, you know, not you, but folks, you know, business leaders yeah. and other people, parents, right? If you're the CEO of your house or your kids, but it's listening, right? Because listening is the foundation, as we know, of all communication. So it's listening to yourself, but it's also that it's that kind of, it's what I call listening to what you hear versus listening to what you hope to hear or wanted to hear, which is often how you listen.
Yes.
I
have noticed that in myself, that I'm really learning now to take a look at it from the reverse perception, because it's very interesting. I'm finding that a lot of people right now, and I explained about Uranus, you know, and how that has such a huge pull, and how we're also moving out of Pisces into Aquarius, you know, into the age of that. And Pisces is a very emotional, watery space, whereas the Aquarian energy is very airy and thinking and mental. So a lot of people right now do feel like fish out of water.
And
when you said that about listening, and hearing, a lot of people, exactly, you nailed it. A lot of people are so triggered by the thought that they won't hear what they want to hear, mm-hmm. I've worked with different people who have lost their hearing. Because they had situations where they were yelled at or something by, you know, in the left ear or the right ear. So I was at a seminar or at an interior wellness festival, and I was working on a lady who had an operation on her ear. And there was a lady in the audience that, when I was working on this lady up front, she came to me after, and she was just shaking and in tears because she hadn't been able to hear out of her left ear for 10 years. And it popped while I was working on the other person, and she regained her hearing. And she was like, I'm so, like, she's just like, I don't know what to do. I can hear.
Oh my gosh.
And so, those can come from traumas from childhood and, you know, from our subconscious mind, and also from things that are happening that have happened to our ancestors, et cetera. So I just wanted to clear that energetically, and shift that for people. So, in your experience, if someone hears something and you have conflicting views from other employees, how would you handle that?
Yeah, so what I tend to do, and I'll encourage leaders to do, is gather information. It becomes fairly pragmatic in a sense, right? Because we need to gather information. We need to talk to various people to get their perspectives. And one of the things that happens in most organizations or on teams or even in a relationship of two is that once you gather all the perspectives, you have something that closely resembles the truth, right? Because we all have our own, I call it the truth with a small t. We have our own truths of our experience, right?
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
not the truth. But then you start to get that picture that everyone can at least usually partially agree with, like, yeah, that pretty much is it. Mm-hmm. So it's not taking one person's word. It's not jumping on the first thing you hear. It's really being diligent and methodical about getting information from folks and listening to lots of different people.
And so... And when, once you listen to that, how would you move into the next step of action? We don't have a whole lot of time here. We're pretty much at the end of the show, but I just want to leave people maybe with something that you would, like for the audience to know here, that you feel would really benefit them, you know, to become a better leader.
Yeah. I call it becoming a cultural detective or a culture whisperer. It's really being able to tune into emotional energy in your culture. It's observing, dropping your biases and your assumptions about people or situations, and really listening and observing and creating a safe place for folks to talk about what they're experiencing. And it's not just a nice to have, it's actually, if we're talking about businesses, it's a completely sound business practice, because massive transformation comes from understanding what people are experiencing. Because from there, you can actually solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, once you know what the problem is and you accept what the problem is, then you can actually have a much, it's much more fun actually to do it that way too, because you get a lot of people enjoying the work atmosphere. What for you have you out of your work? Because I'm getting you get a lot of joy out of this. What is it like for you when you work with a company and you see it flourish like that? What does that feel like?
Yeah, that's a really amazing feeling. You know, it's just it's almost a little bit of a high, you know, in the sense that I was able to help. I don't do it. I'm partnering with an organization, but together we were able to really transform something that absolutely was not working and which was causing people to suffer. So, almost always. So it's a really amazing feeling to be part of that kind of change.
Well, I want to thank you so much for all the good work you're doing, and you know, congratulations on your book coming out, and thank you so much for being on the show. And I'm looking forward to being on your show and talking about this some more. And by May, that's May 10th, I'll have read your book and have implemented some of it so I can share with you.
Oh, great. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be great to hear. And thank you so much for having me on the show, Colette. Really, this was a really fun show and great conversation. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure. And thank you, Carter and Ulith, for calling in and the audience. And thank you so much, Pat, for giving us all this opportunity, you and your team. Bye for now. We'll be back next Wednesday, 8 o'clock a.m. Pacific time.
You've been listening to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan. Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The truth is funny. Visit thetruthisfunny.com for more information. That's thetruthisfunny.com.